This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, January 16th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. Obviously, two big football games yesterday, two on Saturday. We'll start in Green Bay, where the Giants... Yes, it was an upset, but you can't say it was a stunning upset. The way they beat the Packers was stunning, maybe. Giants 37, Green Bay 20, Green Bay 15-1, goes home after their first playoff game. And just kind of the way you thought it had to go for the Giants to win. They got a great pass rush. They are healthy up front. The Giants all year have been waiting to get healthy. They did get healthy at the right time, obviously. They beat the Jets. They beat the Cowboys. They beat the Falcons. Now they beat the Packers. It is a little reminiscent, frankly, of their Super Bowl run in 2007. You didn't think Aaron Rodgers would make mistakes. He did throw a pick. There were a couple of fumbles recovered by the Giants. The referees, the calls went Green Bay's way. Frankly, it was 37-20, and it could have been worse. So this is an upset, not a stunning upset. We talked about it last week. The Giants did have a chance. Again, for the first time in a long time, these last 4 weeks, they are healthy. It's not about the length of the season anymore. Hasn't been since they put wild cards into the mix. Again, the Giants were 8-7, and now they're playing for the NFC Championship. So that is the way it goes in football today. But the Giants were fantastic. Eli Manning was great. 21 for 33, 330 yards, three touchdowns, one interception for Manning. Hakeem Nicks was unbelievable if you saw the play right before the half. And this is, you know, they call it a Hail Mary from the 37, and again, you're throwing it into the end zone hoping your guy can catch it. That's true, but you got to wonder, there had to be a chance. Maybe the Giants, I certainly thought they were going to throw like a quick 6 yard out and then go for a field goal. Tynes was warming up on the sidelines. But instead, Green Bay called time, a big mistake according to Eli Manning, because they changed it from a short route to try and throw a touchdown into the end zone, and they did. Amazing to me, though, because Nicks just went up, caught the ball. Nobody else touched the ball for Green Bay. Yeah, there were guys near Nicks, but he had a clean look, a clean jump, a clean catch. It was a very good catch. But, again, a 37-yard Hail Mary, I guess everybody's calling it a Hail Mary. I'm just not sure if that's exactly what it was, because you also had to defend against the short out. And I think most people thought that's what the Giants were going to do. But that was probably, you could make a case that that was one of the key points of the game. Earlier, Rodgers had hit Jennings with a pass. He was stripped, and he definitely fumbled. A terrible call by the refs. First, they called it a non-fumble, and that's okay, a bang-bang play. But on replay, they said it was a non-fumble, and I haven't heard anyone other than the refs think that wasn't a fumble. So that was a bizarre play. The calls did not go the Giants' way early or late, but it didn't matter. Giants went up 10-3 on a beautiful Manning pass to Nicks, who caught it, bounced off a tackler around midfield, and ran the distance between four guys or among four guys. He caught the ball, winds up going 66 yards for a touchdown. Obviously, that gave the Giants some confidence. They were up 10-3, but then Rodgers drove them down the field after that non-fumble call. And it definitely was a fumble. I haven't seen a call that bad not reversed this year, certainly, in the NFL. I can't remember one worse. But whatever, they go down, and Kuhn gets a touchdown catch to tie up the game 10-10. Antrell Roe recovers a fumble. Giants get a field goal, 13-10. The Hail Mary makes it 20-10 at the half. And again, you just kind of had a feeling. Now, you know Green Bay can easily come out and score two touchdowns and take the lead. But again, he gets strip-sacked. Rodgers early in the half. Jennings was wide open for a touchdown. If he get it to him, he couldn't. Rodgers had Finley wide open on a third down. Bad timing, couldn't get it to him. They had to settle for a field goal, 20-13. Now, a lot of people saying today, you know, this is after the fact. Obviously, Rodgers didn't play last week, but you'll recall he didn't play the final game of the year when Matt Flynn threw six touchdown passes. So Rodgers had not played in 3 weeks. And I'll say it again, I think that's a mistake because he just wasn't in sync with his receivers, something I don't think you saw all year, maybe a little in the Kansas City game when they lost. And I'm sure the Giants put in the Romeo Crennel Kansas City film and took some lessons from that. But it really was about their pass rush. Rodgers, the best offense that the Packers had yesterday was Rodgers running for first downs. He did it five or six times, but that was almost a bad sign because there was good coverage, good rushing. He just was out of sync to me all day. And later on in the game, now it's 20-13, Giants get a field goal, 23-13. Grant gets stripped by Kenny Phillips. Blackburn picks up the ball, and this was pretty much the hammer to the game, frankly. Chase Blackburn picks up the ball, runs it all the way down to the Green Bay 5. Manning throws a four-yard TD pass to Manningham in the back of the end zone. That made it 30-13. For all intents and purposes, 17 is the magic number. It used to be 15. Now with the two-point conversion, if you're down 16, that's two scores and two extra two-point conversions. So when they throw it to Manningham and it's 30-13, that's pretty much the ball game. They did come up. Green Bay driving again. A terrible roughing the passer call on Osi Umenyiora, who had a spectacular game. Just look, he came in and he hit him, didn't hit him high, hit him right when he released the ball. That kept a drive alive for the Packers. Eventually, Rodgers throws a touchdown pass to Donald Driver, 30-20. Again, still a two-score game, but very late. They try, well, I shouldn't say very late. There was an issue whether they should or not, but I think it was with about 4.5 minutes left. They try an onside kick. Victor Cruz recovers. And then eventually they get a first down, and they get another first down, and Jacobs runs it in from 14 yards out to seal the deal. Giants 37, Green Bay 20. Hakeem Nicks, 7 receptions for 165 yards and 2 touchdowns. Victor Cruz, 5 for 74. Mario Manningham, 3 for 31 and a touchdown. Those are the three threats in the passing game that the Giants have, and they're all very good. Bradshaw, 12 rushes for 63. Jacobs, 9 for 22 and a touchdown. Again, it's really been the first time all year consistently that Bradshaw and Jacobs have been able to go on the ground together, you know, kind of a thunder and lightning. Jacobs the thunder, Bradshaw the lightning. Bradshaw had that incredible run right before halftime to set up the 37-yard Hail Mary pass. Got out of bounds just in time. For the Packers, again, what can you say? Rodgers 26 for 46, 264, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, but he was out of sync all day. Rodgers was their leading rusher. That tells you 7 rushes for 66 yards. 5 or 6 of them were for first downs. Stark, 6 for 43. Grant, 8 for 33. But really, there wasn't a whole lot there in the running game other than when Rodgers scrambled. Jennings, 4 catches for 40 yards. Finley, the very good tight end, 4 for 37. Donald Driver, 3 for 45 in the lone touchdown. But you had to really watch the game, I think, to see how dominant the Giants were, and they were dominant. Again, a couple of scores, one leading to a touchdown. In fact, two leading to touchdowns. The fumble that the ref said was not a fumble. The roughing the passer call late in the game on Osi Umenyiora. Those directly led to two touchdowns. And those were the only two touchdowns that the Packers scored. So it could have even been worse. Giants 37, Packers 20. Now, people today, you know, Joe Philbin, their offensive coordinator, he was at the game. Chris Berman said that was a, quote, good sign, close quote, on ESPN. I don't know that it was or wasn't. You know, hard to believe you bury your kid on Friday, you show up at a game on Sunday. I mean, it's a very, I think it might have shook the Packers up a little. That's not an excuse, of course. I think it was as much or more that Aaron Rodgers did not play for 3 weeks. I wonder if they were in the same position next year, if they would rethink that and at least have him play, I don't know, a half? A quarter and a little bit into the second quarter, because frankly it was not Aaron Rodgers, it was not the Packers. Look, I'm a Giants guy, obviously I'm happy, but it was 37-20 and it wasn't even that close. So the Giants roll all over the Green Bay Packers. Again, an upset, yes, but the more shocking thing, I think, was the way they did it. They easily beat the Packers. Again, their front four is healthy. It's about being healthy this time of year. The Giants' front four is healthy. And the Giants, both of their running backs are healthy. Manning's been great all year. He's played like an elite quarterback this year. Victor Cruz has become a star. Nix is a star. Manningham is a very good receiver. So the Giants beat the Green Bay Packers and send them home at 15-2 in Lambeau Field. Giants 37, Green Bay 20. The other game yesterday, Houston at the Ravens. And again, you know, everybody talks how when you're on the road, you can't get down too much. You know, you got to withstand it early because if you don't, you're going to get run out of the building. Well, New Orleans got beat Saturday. We'll talk about that. And Houston got beat Sunday. But both of them were getting run out of the building and they came back. So I'm not sure that theory is everything that everyone says it is. Of course, the Patriots, you know, they won easily. They blew out the Broncos, but that was a different kind of game. But my point is the Ravens go up early. Well, Houston's up 3-0. The Ravens tie it on a field goal 3-3. And then Jimmy Smith recovers a Jacoby Jones muff punt very deep in Houston territory. The Ravens go in. Chris Wilson gets his first catch of the year, a short touchdown pass. They go up 10-3. Then T.J. Yates, quarterback for Houston, throws an out route. Ladarius Webb jumps the route and intercepts. Then Flacco throws a short pass to Anquan Boldin, who made a great catch in the end zone, 17-3. So, again, if you follow that theory, you can't get down early. The game's over, right? Well, not exactly. Houston gets a field goal, 17-6. Arian Foster rushes for 28 yards and then takes it in from short range, 17-13 at the half. So obviously they're already back in it despite being down 17-3. For the last three quarters, the Ravens only score 3 points. Flacco hits Lee Evans down the right sideline for the catch of the year. I don't know if you saw it. Evans spinning around, sticks his left hand out, one-handed, makes a fantastic catch. And eventually the Ravens get first and goal from the 9. They run 4 running plays. They have 4th and goal from the half-yard line, and they can't punch it in. That was a key play in the game. I thought he should have kicked it, frankly, because that would have put them up 7. If Houston scored a touchdown, the Ravens couldn't lose the lead unless Houston went for 2, which, of course, was unlikely. But in any event, they get stopped there. Ray Rice up the middle. Tim Dobbins stops him cold. I mean, it was just a one-on-one deal, and Dobbins was able to knock Rice back before he got into the end zone. He literally had half a yard to go, but he couldn't get in. Eventually, the Ravens get another field goal, 20-13, a couple of times. Houston took shots, including at the end. They took a shot into the end zone. But Ed Reed had a key interception on Yates. Ladarius Webb had 2 interceptions on Yates. Everybody said Yates played well except 4. Well, I don't know that Yates played well. Yeah, he's a young quarterback, and yeah, he's their third quarterback. But he had no touchdown passes, 3 interceptions, 17 for 35. So I don't know if you can say he played well except for the 3 interceptions. I mean, I just don't think that really works. But Ed Reed with the big interception late, and Ladarius Webb with 2 interceptions earlier. The Ravens 20, Houston 13. You got to give Houston a lot of credit playing with their third-string quarterback. They won a playoff. They took the Ravens to the final plays where Yates was throwing it towards the end zone to try and get a Hail Mary to tie up the game with 11 seconds left. Not to be. Ravens 20, Houston 13. The Ravens move on to play the Patriots in New England next week. The Giants move on to play the 49ers in San Francisco next week. We'll go briefly over those Saturday games because I know that's old news to everybody now, but we'll just have a couple of things to say about those. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Off the Bench with Josh Scarr and Scotty Bickford, Mondays at 4 p.m. on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry, specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh, my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 120,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy and major car companies filing for bankruptcy, Cover America Auto Care has announced revolutionary, inexpensive mechanical breakdown coverage that is now available to the general public to save consumers thousands on auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for drivers to call who own a vehicle that is less than 10 years old for a free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify. The number is 800-219-6876. Drivers who are covered with this auto protection will not have to pay for a covered repair again. This is the auto coverage now sweeping across America at a fraction of what dealerships charge and is now available to the public by calling today. The number to call is 800-219-6876. 800-219-6876. That's 800-219-6876.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Get your NFL news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
NHL Weekly, Monday nights at 6 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. One more thing on the Ravens-Texans game, Joe Flacco did not play very well. You know, he and Matt Ryan, after very good starts, now look, they're good NFL quarterbacks, but Flacco did not have a good game, 14 for 27, 176, two touchdowns. Those numbers are not really bad. They're not really good. Rice, 21 for 60 yards. Bolden, four receptions for 73 and a touchdown. Rice, four out of the backfield for 20. But they only got 3 points the last three quarters. The two touchdowns they got were on turnovers and short fields. Now, of course, next week's going to be a totally different game. We'll get into that later in the week. But the Texans' defense obviously is very good. The Patriots' defense is better than you think, I think. They did have a good game against Denver. We'll get into that in a minute. But that's, you know, Tebow really can't throw the ball that well. They burned the Steelers. The Steelers gambled a lot. They won a playoff game, and good for them. But Flacco's going to have to step up next week because the Patriots are going to score, I think, on the Ravens. Although, of course, 2 years ago, the Ravens hammered the Patriots in New England. But we'll get to that later in the week. The Saturday games quickly, you know, they're billing the 49ers 36-32 win over the Saints as, you know, an instant classic, one of the great playoff games of all time. I didn't see it that way at all. I understand the game has changed, but this became a flag football game. The last 7 minutes of the game, I mean, in the last 4-11, four touchdowns were scored in a playoff game. San Francisco is supposed to have a great defense. New Orleans an okay defense. But Breeze goes over the middle to Darren Sproles for 44 yards for a touchdown. If you saw that, he just ran right up the middle. Alex Smith ran 28 yards around left end for a touchdown for San Francisco with 2:11 left in the game. Drew Brees then threw it over the middle to Jimmy Graham, another great play, 66 yards for a touchdown, 1:37 to go in the game. In fact, a lot of people felt this way. I know I spoke to a couple of friends of mine at the time. I thought it was the old New Orleans score too early. This became almost last team with the ball wins. Because Smith threw it over the middle to Vernon Davis, who had a spectacular game for a 14-yard touchdown with 9 seconds left. And, yeah, you can say San Francisco got back the ball, but you know what I mean. I mean, I'm sorry, New Orleans got the kickoff, you know, like 3 seconds left or whatever it was. What I mean was when Drew Brees throws it over the middle to Jimmy Graham, he's all alone, he stiff-arms a guy, he runs it in. The last 20 yards, it was just him and one guy. Now, since New Orleans was losing, you can't say they should have fallen down on the one-yard line. If it was a tie game, maybe you would think about doing that. But they were losing. So you understand it. But it really seemed to be at the time, the way the game was going, total of 34 points scored in the fourth quarter of an NFL playoff game. So there's no question that the offenses are now way ahead of the defenses. And, yes, Alex Smith is a better quarterback and yes, than he has been. And, yes, the Saints don't have a good defense, but come on. He drove them down the field like it was flag football. And Breeze drove the Saints down the field twice like it was flag football. So I don't know if it was an instant classic. You decide for yourself. If you have four touchdowns in essentially the last 4 minutes of a playoff game and a field goal each earlier in the quarter, by the way. That's how they were 34 points. Each team had a field goal earlier in the quarter. To me, six scores in a National Football League game in the final quarter. And again, San Francisco playing at home with a vaunted defense. I understand Breeze in New Orleans has a great offense. It doesn't travel as well. 49ers 36. New Orleans Saints 32. I mean, really, yes, an exciting game, but I guess this is where football is. I can't say I'm all for that. Drew Brees lost 40 for 63, 461 yards, four TDs, two interceptions. And, yes, we know about the fact that a lot of times when you're losing, you have to throw the ball a lot, blah, 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 and you get a lot of yards and you lose. But I don't know. Alex Smith, 24 for 42, 299, three touchdowns, no picks. Big key. Vernon Davis had a game for the ages. Again, every time he looked up, he was making another great big catch. Seven receptions for 180 yards and two TDs, including the winner. Frank Gore, 7 for 38 out of the backfield. He also rushed 13 times for 89 yards. Smith had the biggest rush of the game, you could argue. for San Francisco, that run around left end, the only time he ran 28 yards and a touchdown. Saints got nothing on the ground. Darren Sproles, 14 receptions out of the backfield for 116 yards and a touchdown. Colston, 9 for 136 and a touchdown. The tight end, Graham, a rising star, 5 for 103 and two touchdowns, including that 66-yarder to put him up. But again, you had a feeling, just, and if you were watching that game, you know what I mean, you just had a feeling that whoever had the ball was going to score. And that's exactly what happened. 49ers 36, Saints 32. You know, Harbaugh was talking about what a great performance it was by the 49ers. Well, yes and no. Yes and no. I don't think they're going to go up and down the field on the Giants like they did on the Saints. The Giants are the now team. You're going to hear it all week. They're the hot team. But again, they're healthy. And they were not healthy all season until the last couple games of the regular season. So now they're on that magical roll, and everybody in New York is saying it's like it was 4 years ago. Remember they beat the Packers and Brett Favre when he threw that terrible interception in overtime? They upset the undefeated Patriots in the Super Bowl, and that was an upset. But San Francisco makes it to the NFC Championship. I do think Jim Harbaugh is the coach of the year. I mean, remember what San Francisco's been the last few years. I thought Mike Singletary was going to be a good NFL coach. It didn't work out. Was Alex Smith good enough? Was he not good enough? He's had 7 offensive coordinators in 7 years. He played pretty well yesterday. He's certainly an above-average NFL quarterback now. But his runaround left end and his passing ability, Vernon Davis had an unbelievable game. The tight ends are taking over the game. Gronkowski, Graham, Davis. I mean, it's unbelievable. I guess you got to put Hernandez of New England in there as well. You know, they're the wave of the future. So the only game we didn't talk about much, and there's not a whole lot to say. I mean, the Patriots did what you kind of expected them to do. Brady was unbelievable, 26 for 34, 363 yards, 6 touchdowns, 1 pick. This game was over fairly early. At 21-7, Phil Simms said the Broncos just want to get out of here, only down 21-7, which I didn't necessarily agree with, but then they put the ball in the air a couple times. They had a couple turnovers. Patriots scored 2 more touchdowns, 35-7 at the half. Of course, the game was over then. The Patriots, what they did is very interesting, actually. To stop the run, they had pretty much their 7 biggest bodies in the front 7. They played the option extremely well. There was nothing there all game. They also put Aaron Hernandez in the backfield, 5 rushes for 61 yards. And Jarvis Green-Ellis, 13 for 28. Danny Woodhead, 4 for 25. I mean, they just change things up every week offensively. And again, Patrick Chung is healthy. We spoke about him. He's a very good player. Safety for the Patriots. Their defense played much better. But the Broncos, again, you don't expect much out of them throwing the ball, despite what they did last week against the Steelers. Tebow, 9 for 26 for 136 yards. No touchdowns, no picks. But this one was over pretty quickly. Patriots 45, Broncos 10. Gronkowski, a monster game. 10 receptions for 145 yards and 3 touchdowns. Welker, 6 for 55. And the first touchdown of the game. Hernandez, 4 for 55 and a touchdown in addition to his 61 yards rushing. You probably see that next week. Deion Branch, 3 for 85 and a touchdown. There really wasn't much that the Broncos could do. Again, Patriots manhandled them in Denver, 37-23, and it was worse in this playoff game. Patriots 45, Broncos 10. Now, it's the first time the Patriots won since the AFC Championship game in the year that they lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl. They had 2 first-round losses, and the year that Brady sat out, they won 11 games but didn't make the playoffs at 11-5. Think about that. You got the Broncos winning playoff games at 8-8. You got the Giants winning the NFC East at 9-7. The Patriots, the year Brady missed, that was the year after they were 16-0 in the regular season. They went 11-5 with Matt Castle at quarterback. And they didn't make the playoffs. So, again, to me, there still are some unfairness situations in the playoff system, but it is what it is. And next week, and we'll talk about these games later in the week, but next Sunday at 3, Ravens at New England. New England, the early touchdown favorite. Sunday night at 6:30, Giants at 49ers. The 49ers early 2.5-point favorite. I think these are both excellent games. I think 7 and 7.5 for New England is ridiculous. Now, the Ravens' offense did not play well, but the Ravens manhandled New England 2 years ago up in Foxborough. If you recall, I think it was the first or second play of the game, Ray Rice ran for like 80, 74 yards or something. And it just got worse from there. Ravens 33, New England 14 in New England. That was 2 years ago. Giants at 49ers. Excellent game. Excuse me. Excellent game to be sure. You know, the Giants, they might be on one of these magical runs. It is amazing because they struggled through the regular season. They were lucky to make the playoffs. They did play well those last two games against the Jets and Dallas, but it was as much about Dallas losing it. The Giants have played well. Again, they got healthy at the right time finally. They got both of their running backs healthy at the right time. They got their front four. Boldy's been healthy in the linebacker position. He's played very well. I think what the Giants thought they were getting when they got Boldy. Secondary has played well, but when your pass rush is healthy and rushing the passer well, obviously your secondary gets better by definition. Now, on the losing side, still a lot of questions about Tim Tebow in Denver. Apparently, a lot of the Denver players realized after what New England did to them that they're far away. I don't know if they thought they were now somehow Super Bowl contenders because they won a competitive but not really good division with an 8-8 record. They lost their last three and made the playoffs. And then they went ahead and won a playoff game, and, you know, good for them. But they got that home field advantage at 8-8, which I think is ridiculous. Steelers 12-4. Steelers gambled a lot on defense. It didn't work for them. But they saw against New England. And Denver, again, they were a very good defense middle of the season. But Von Miller got hurt, played with a cast on his hand. Their defense was not good the last three, four games they played, the two playoff games and their two regular season games. Again, they lost four of their last five games, final three in the regular season, and obviously hammered by the Patriots. So there's still questions, and there's still going to be questions about Tim Tebow. Is he going to be good enough to be a regular starter in the NFL? Of course, he'll start next year because of what he did this year, 7-4 regular season, 1-1 in the playoffs. We'll just have to see how that shakes out. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring with high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
SportsTalkNetwork.com is now mobile. Watch or listen to your favorite Sports Talk Network program live or on demand with the new STN web app. The STN web app works on all smartphones, including iPhones, Android, and BlackBerry. Go to m.SportsTalkNetwork.com on your phone's web browser and bookmark the app. No downloads and no fees. Fresh audio, video shows, sports news, and more content delivered to your phone whenever you want. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. And now on your phone. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard-to-find parts. Visit us today at SupplyLineElectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. A few other things going on this weekend, not the least of which was the New York Yankees. I don't know how they do this, but they pull off a major deal. I think Jesus Montero is going to be an excellent major league hitter. I really do. I was very impressed with what he did for the Yankees, not because of the home runs he hit, but I think we talked about it when it happened. I saw him hit a changeup with two strikes, drive the ball for a base hit, just a single. But when you see a young hitter after four or five fastballs with two strikes on him be able to hit a breaking ball off speed, I think that's a sign of a good young hitter, and I think that's what he is. But for the Yankees to get Michael Pineda from Seattle, I mean, the guy's 22 and he throws 95. Apparently they tried to get the King, Felix Hernandez, but that wasn't going to happen. But I'm surprised. And look, I think Montero has got a great future. I know a lot of people knocked his defense here. He's 21 years old. You got to give him a chance. I always go back to these stories you hear about Yogi Berra, who himself will tell you he was a terrible defensive catcher, and then Bill Dickey taught him how to catch. So I don't know if you can write guys off at 2021 as defensive catchers in the major leagues. But Montero is going to be a good offensive player, I think very good offensive player. But the Yankees get Pineda. They also sign Hiroki Kuroda, 1 year, $10 million. Pineda goes right into that number two spot behind CC Sabathia. I mean, that is a tough 1-2 now. The Yankees needed to upgrade their starting pitching, and they have. You know, whether A.J. Burnett sticks around, whether they try and deal him and save, you know, pay part of his salary to send him somewhere, but he's right now the fifth starter. So they have a very good, you know, they got seven starting pitchers now. They already signed Freddy Garcia. They got Pineda and Kuroda. Sabathia is a stud. I mean, they're going to be good. So, you know, a lot of people say the rich get richer, and they're right, especially in this instance. They do give up Montero. I think they probably made a decision. He is not going to be the defensive catcher for 10 or 12 years. And, yes, they give up a bat, but the Yankees really needed, you know, they did it with smoke and mirrors last year. Cologne was good. Freddy Garcia was good. Don't get me wrong. But A.J. Burnett was .500 again. Sabathia you could rely on. Hughes was up and down. I expect him to have a good year next year. He's the other starting pitcher, of course. So the Yankees get Michael Pineda for Jesus Montero. But I'll say it again. I think Montero, he's got a future. Maybe the Mariners think he can be a starting catcher. If he does, King Felix and him for the next 10 years. Although I don't know if they'll hold on to King Felix when he becomes a free agent. You know, maybe they're trying to show him that they can put a great team around him. But the Yankees upgrade their staff tremendously. I don't know if you heard the Bobby Valentine comments. You know, I'm a Valentine fan. I think he's an excellent baseball guy. You just don't know why he says stuff like, you know, that's no big deal. If the Red Sox tomorrow got Pineda and Kuroda, he'd be jumping for joy. So the notion that this doesn't change anything, while maybe publicly he's going to say that, privately he can't believe that. Bobby Valentine's a smart guy and a very good baseball man. But he really, you know, I think you had to feel these deals up in Boston. Because it looks to me like the same deal. The Red Sox, the Yankees, the Tampa Bay Rays, it's like somebody gets left out every year. And you don't want to be the one to not have a chair when the music stops. So I think Bobby Valentine knows this is going to up the Yankees. I think he's just trying to take a public posture for his team or his fans or whatever. But I think deep down, I can't believe he thinks getting these two pitchers is nothing or, you know, is not a big deal or whatever he said. A few other moves in baseball. Gio Gonzalez, a very good young pitcher. The Nationals signed him 5 years for $42 million. He's got an option for two more years. He's a very good pitcher, Gonzalez. I think the Nationals are loaded up to make a run in the NL East. Again, we always talk about the AL East with those three teams, but the NL East now, the Nationals are spending money and making noise. The Braves are good. The Phillies are still the best team with the best pitching in baseball. You know, again, where does that leave the Mets? You know, you heard those comments from Johan Santana over the last 4 or 5 days. I'm doing my best. I hope to be ready for spring training. I'm not sure. I don't really know. We'll just have to wait and see. Not very confident. But I think Santana is a guy who really does try to be honest. And I think he's a guy who's been through a lot who doesn't know where he's going to be arm-wise in 6 weeks. He just doesn't know. But, you know, I think it's like 27 days till pitchers and catchers, so it's the old it'll be here before you know it. The football season only has 3 more weeks. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens with Santana. Because without a good Santana, not an okay Santana, the Mets are going to have deep problems. You know, nobody in New York thinks the Mets are, if they play great, they'll be a .500 team. I think that's the view in New York, including among Met fans. So some people want the Wilpons to sell the team. Some people believe that Sandy Alderson and his team can turn this around in a money ball kind of way, but that's getting harder to do because, of course, everybody's doing it. And that, to me, seems to be the problem. Everybody's doing it now. You don't find the sleepers you found even 5 years ago, never mind 10 years ago. So the National League East, they might be the best division in baseball. you'll be able to make a case. I still don't think it's better than Yankees, Red Sox, Tampa Bay. But you can make a case the Phillies are as good or better than all three of those teams in the AL East. And then you have the Braves and the Nationals and the Marlins have done a lot, including ex-Met Jose Reyes and new manager Ozzie Guillen. So those are two fascinating divisions for next year. But Gio Gonzalez goes to the Nationals. They spend a lot of money. Jason Worth, Gio Gonzalez, they're going to have a very good team. Bryce Harper might be up. Strasburg's back. Again, that's going to be an interesting division to watch next year, next season, I should say. Joel Zumaia, who, you know, routinely hit 100 when he was with the Tigers, he signs a one-year deal with Minnesota. Now, he's had a lot of arm problems. The most he can make is $1.7 million. If he's healthy, he's going to help the Twins tremendously. We'll have to see if that gun in Detroit is really right. Sometimes you see, you know, I love Justin Verlander. He's throwing 100 in the eighth inning. I don't know. I'll say this. The gun in Detroit seems to skew higher, that's all I'll say, than other guns in other ballparks. But Joel Zumaia goes to Minnesota for the Twins in a one-year deal. And Bartolo Colon, not coming back to the Yankees, he's going to the Oakland Athletics. They're going to have to shore up their pitching staff. Now, Oakland, you know, they always have good young pitching, and then they all seem to move on to greener pastures. But Oakland signs veteran Bartolo Colon, who pitched well for the Yankees last year and will be a benefit to them in the clubhouse as an older guy with success, former Cy Young Award winner, et cetera. I think he'll help them in the clubhouse as well. He came back. He had that arm, that stem cell stuff implanted. I think it was done in Canada. I don't think it was, like, legal in the U.S. or something. They had some kind of investigation, Major League Baseball, but it was deemed to be okay. But Colon pitched very well last year. And now he goes to the Oakland Athletics. A couple of basketball games quickly. You know, Indiana beat Ohio State earlier in the year. But yesterday, Ohio State hammered Indiana in Ohio State, two top 10 teams. Ohio State 80, Indiana 63. Now, it's very interesting because Ohio State, you know about Sullinger. You kind of know most of their guys, Aaron Kraft, the little point guard. They have some big-time players who are going to be pro someday. But Lenzel Smith Jr. starts for Ohio State. He averages like 4 points a game. And Tom Crean, the Indiana coach, admitted they were going to leave him alone to go double Sullinger or double Buford or double whoever. And all Lenzel Smith Jr. did was go 10 for 12 and score 28 points. They literally left him alone the first half of the game. And Tom Crean admitted after the game that was the plan. It didn't work out. Ohio State gets a little revenge on Indiana. Ohio State 80, Indiana 63. And one other game of note, interesting game, Duke on the road at Clemson. Duke gets down 4-0. Coach K calls a timeout, talks to his starters. They go back out. Clemson scores again. Duke down 6-0. Coach K takes out all five of the starters, puts in obviously the second team. The starters get the message. Eventually, they tie up the game at 20. They're put back in. They tie up the game at 20. Andre Dawkins leads the way for Duke with 24. Mason Plumlee, 12.7 rebounds. Duke, number six in the country, 73. Clemson, 65. Devin Booker has 12 points, 13 rebounds for Clemson. But it was more about the early on, the way Krzyzewski handled his starters, not afraid to pull them all, sending a message. And I guess the message got through. I don't think Clemson's a terrible team, but they got up 6-0. They lose by 8, Duke 73, Clemson 65. A few other interesting things. The Australian Open starts today, obviously a major. First day of play, Rafi Nadal, number two seed, beats Alex Kuznetsov 6-4, 6-1, 6-1. Roger Federer, the number three seed, 16 Grand Slam titles, looking for 17. Beats Alexander Kudryavtsev 7-5, 6-2, 6-2. On the women's side, Caroline Wozniacki, who is the number one player in the world and the number one seed at the Australian Open, even though she's never won a Grand Slam event. She wins her first match in straight sets. Those are the early this morning results from Australia in the Australian Open. One interesting college hockey note, they played an outdoor college hockey game at Progressive Field in Cleveland yesterday. Perennial power Michigan comes to Cleveland to play Ohio State in outdoor hockey. You know, these games are fantastic games. It's not just for the pros now. Minor league hockey is doing it. College hockey is doing it. They're doing it up in Canada. They're doing it in the United States. Yesterday from Progressive Field in Cleveland, Michigan 4, Ohio State 1. Again, to me, just fantastic stuff when you can do these games outdoors. You'd like it to be cold, of course. That's the best thing. I think they're better in Canada, but they're great. You know, 45,000 down in Philly to see the Rangers beat the Flyers 3-2 the day after New Year's. The crowds are unbelievable. You're not limited to the 15 or 20,000 you would get in an arena. It's really a good idea. You don't want them to overdo it. I think one game in the U.S. and one in Canada every year is a great thing. If they can set it up to do it in Progressive Field in Cleveland for a college game, that's fantastic, too. Of course, college hockey is big, especially in Michigan. It's gigantic in Michigan. So that was a very interesting game. I just saw highlights, but in Progressive Field in Cleveland yesterday, Michigan beats Ohio State 4-1. NBA, just a few games. The Warriors at the Pistons. The Warriors have a good young team. I don't know where they're going with Mark Jackson as their first-year coach, but they do have a lot of talent. Monte Ellis, 22 points. David Lee, the former Nick, leads the way with 24. Warriors, 99. Pistons, 21. Pistons, 3-10. Golden State 4-8. I don't know if Golden State, again, I still think the West is a little tougher than the East. The Pistons don't have a very good team. I think Golden State has some very good young talent, like Monte Ellis. David Lee is a very good player. So they beat the Pistons 99-91 in Detroit, a good road win for Golden State. The Spurs are the Spurs of the Spurs, even without Manu Ginobili. They're tough at home. They beat the Phoenix Suns. Spurs 102, Suns 91. Tim Duncan 24-11 leads his team in both. Tony Parker 17 points, 9 assists. You know, they're going with the big two now instead of the big three. But the Spurs moved to 9-4. The Suns moved to 4-8. Gortat, who's become a very good player and is the main threat for Phoenix now, 24 points, 15 rebounds, used to be Dwight Howard's backup at Orlando. Steve Nash, of course, still 10 assists for Phoenix, but I don't think they're going anywhere this year. Spurs trying to stay on top till Ginobili gets back, and, you know, 9-4, they're doing real well. What other game? The Jazz, who have rebounded from an early poor start, beat the Nuggets 106-96 in Denver. This Paul Millsap, a very good player, maybe the best player you don't know about, leads the way for the Jazz with 26. Al Jefferson has 12 rebounds. For the Nuggets, Danilo Gallinari goes 12-for-12 from the free throw line, leads the team with 18. Lawson, the point guard, with 8 assists. The Jazz now 8-4, 106. The Nuggets now 8-5, 96. A few other NBA notes. You know, Miami has lost 3 in a row. Dwayne Wade has another ankle sprain. You know, and if it becomes habitual, he really needs to sit down for, you know, a week or 10 days or whatever it takes for that to heal. The big three can win as the big two, depending on the competition, of course. But Wade did not practice on Sunday. He has a ankle sprain. They took x-rays, no break. To me, just the fact that they took x-rays is not a good sign. Normally when you sprain your ankle, you don't have x-rays taken, but if it's a bad sprain, obviously you have to. Spoelstra, the coach, said there was no timetable for Wade's return, but Miami, in a little bit of an early tailspin, if you will, losing 3 in a row and no Dwayne Wade, they don't know when he'll be back. Also, Chris Paul, and you know, the Clippers are a legit team now. They've beaten the Heat and the Lakers in their last two games. That's all you need to know they're legit. Paul and Blake Griffin, what a combination. But he strained his left hamstring against the Lakers on Saturday night. He's doubtful for tonight's game. Now, the Clippers losing Paul is worse than Miami losing one of their big three, I think, because the Clippers, to me, are really a two-man team, Griffin and Paul. So he probably won't play tonight. We'll keep an eye on these injuries. You know, it's the old, it's early in the season. You don't want to get too bent out of shape about them. But You don't want any of them to become habitual, so then you're hurt when you show up to play in the playoffs. A few hockey games yesterday. The main one, I thought, Pittsburgh, still no Crosby in the game. But Evgeny Malkin scores a hat trick, and he can do that. He's a star. 19, 20, and 21 on the year for Malkin. Pittsburgh 6, Tampa Bay 3. You know, Tampa Bay in last place in the East, and that's a problem. They still have their stars, but they haven't played well at all. They're 17, 23, and 4. Pittsburgh 23, 17, and 4 reverse. Pittsburgh 6, the Tampa Bay Lightning 3. A few other games. Capitals beat the Hurricanes 2-1. Semin had his 11th. The Blackhawks beat the Sharks 4-3. Jonathan Toews with his 24th of the year. The Ducks beat the Canucks 4-2. Ryan had his 17th of the year. Blake had two goals, his second and third of the year. The Oilers beat the Kings 2-1. Hall scored his 15th in overtime for the win. Of course, the Kings get a point. Williams had his 8th for the Kings. And the Canadiens, who are having some problems up there. They got rid of Camilleri, who was complaining bitterly about the team, but the Canadiens seem to always beat the Rangers up in Montreal, and they do so again yesterday. The Rangers with the best record in hockey, but the Canadiens dominate them 4-1. Canadiens 4, Rangers 1. Pacioretty scores his 14th of the year and his 15th of the year to lead the way. Two goals for him. Mitchell had his 3rd of the year for the only Ranger score. Canadiens 4, Rangers 1. Your TV tonight, or today, Martin Luther King Day, Magic at the Knicks at 1 o'clock at the Garden. The Knicks always play a game on Martin Luther King Day at the Garden. That's on MSG. The Bulls at the Grizzlies, 1 o'clock on ESPN. The Raptors at the Hawks, 4 o'clock all these times Eastern on NBA. And the usual Monday night TNT doubleheader, Thunder at Celtics at 8 Eastern, followed by the Mavericks at the Lakers at 10:30 Eastern. That's a TNT doubleheader. Today, if you get MSG, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the Predators at the Islanders, 1 o'clock Eastern. Tonight on the NBC Sports Network, which used to be Versus, 7:30 Eastern, the Stars at the Blues. A few college basketball games today as well on ESPN, 3:30 Eastern, Louisville at Marquette, 5:30 Eastern, Texas A&M at Missouri. Tonight, Pittsburgh at number one Syracuse, 7:30 Eastern, Pittsburgh having a down year. And then after that, Baylor at Kansas at 9:30 Eastern, also on ESPN. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.